preach to us tonight. So we're glad at this time to have Brother Snow come up and preach. Father, you come ahead, sir.
Glad to be here. Take your Bibles open to Psalms 106, if you would. Thank you, preacher. It's a very happy occasion when I think about coming here tonight and thinking about all the blessings that go into this couple's life. I'll tell you, my heart is touched when I think about it. I think about how God's had His hands on this family and how He's prevailed through them. And boy, I can't say enough. I'm going to say a few things along the trail tonight and try to use my time very wisely here with the time that we have. But I'm very excited about being here and glad that you invited me. And I send my wife would like to be here tonight with us, but she's kind of split. Our family is all home, and we just got a son back from Iraq. And, our Thanksgiving service is actually going to be tomorrow. And here's what it is. Not only thankful to have my son, but I'm glad to have my son. You know what I mean? I got his mind. I still got his heart. Still got his soul. He's all still there. And then we have some family from down south. They're here. And so it's a great occasion, you know what I mean, And I think about tonight, I think about sending off your family. And I think about the need in our country here. You know, we launched our missions. We're actually closing out. We're in the midst of missions at our church. We have a missions month emphasis. And Sunday we closed it out. But I launched it with the thought. And we put together something I'm going to show here in a little bit. It's just 3 minutes. But what it was, it was my heart. It was my heart for our own country. And I thought, I don't know why I want to show this. This is the challenge, this couple tonight. But I think it's for everybody. I always thought, you know, preach to the people that's going to be there. How many of the preachers are here tonight? Let me see your hand. Okay, how many are in full-time work? Let me see your hand. Okay. And how many are from this church right here tonight? Let me see your hand. Okay. And I believe, you know, what the challenge is twofold, because everybody in here, you got a job. There's a task. We're sending a couple, but we also need to realize that the light that goes the furthest shines the brightest. So we've got to keep home fires going today. America's going down the tubes. And she needs every single child of God to be on the battlefield today. I got a testimony. I'll get into preaching. Guy led me to the Lord. Well, he didn't lead me to the Lord, but he was the first fundamental independent Bible believing preacher I ever went to, okay? And he got out of the ministry for 16 years. 16 years. 30 days ago he called me. I actually called him. Talked to him, and our closing conversation is he said, "Brother Don," he's from West Virginia. He said, "Brother Don," he said, Just pray for me that I get back into church. And I said, "I've been praying for you that you get back into church." I said, "We need every single person today on the front line." It was just embedded in me that God's people got to mean business again somewhere along this line. We're losing people, just scattered all over. And I just, in my heart, I just reached out. Well, make a long story short, last week, he stood in a preacher's meeting. I'll just tell you who he is. Stood in a preacher's meeting. Said, "Hello, my name Carlos Browning. And I've been backslidden for 16 years. And sat down. And through a miraculous thing, can't even go into all it, but I'm telling you, the church that he started, a remnant asked him to come back. And he's pastoring that church. Now, can you believe that? And we need some victory stories, is what I'm telling you. And we got a victory God, amen? Stand with me for our text, Psalms 106, verse 21. And actually, this whole chapter I'd like to talk about, just in brevity form, I would encourage you to read it. Speaks to my heart and challenges me about what we can get into if we're not careful in God's Word. In verse 21, Psalms 106, verse 21 says this: "They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, tonight as we bow before You, our God, I pray You give me liberty with the group that meets here. God, may we challenge this couple. May we help them as they, in just a few short days, step onto a plane and begin to fulfill a lot of dreams that You instilled in their hearts. God, literally, they'll be walking in the dreams that they prayed for and hoped for. Many people have helped them to accomplish. And we pray tonight we'd say some things that would help them and help us as we remain behind, do our best for the cause of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I like to always kind of go over some things and give people the context. One thing I hate somebody twisting on the Word of God. I like, teach me what it says. Yeah. I love application, but teach me what the Bible says. You can't twist it, amen. But that word forgot means to lay aside. To somehow it became not important. Something happened to just set that aside there. And if, in the beginning there, it opens with, praise ye the Lord. Verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. I mean, this guy sounds like he's pretty excited about God, this psalmist, who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord, who can show forth His praise. I mean, this starts off like they're into it. They're with it. And in my short life here in this earth, I've seen, I call them firecracker Christians. They come in, boom, they pop up, they're here for a little bit, and they're gone. And we need some more like nuclear Christians. Something that just won't go away. It hangs around and hangs around and hangs around. And this starts off so well, this psalm. It starts off, people were excited about God. And then later in this, it begins to take a change there in verse 8. You see, nevertheless, He saved them for their name's sake, that He might make His mighty power to be known. Well, they begin to act up. They begin to forget about God. Verse 4 says, remember me, O Lord, with Thy favor. Favor there is many times translated grace. And so favor means delight, desire. And so, they things are still going good. And then there takes a change here. In verse 13, it says, they soon forget His words. They waited not for His counsel. That's a bad thing. I'll tell you, it's a bad thing not to wait on God's counsel. And then it goes on, they're just jumping around here, verse 15, and He gave them the request, but sent them leanness into their souls. Otherwise, they got what they wanted, but lost what they had. Later on in this chapter, they begin to go downhill, and we read our text where it talks about them forgetting God. And it got to this point. It got to verse 36. They served their idols, and which were a snare unto them. They sacrificed their sons, their daughters unto devils. If you know anything about Baal worship, this is what happened. I mean, think about it. Sacrificing your loved ones. And if you know anything about that sacrifice, they heated up the arms of Baal and they placed their bodies in that on those fiery arms and killed those children in sacrificing them to Baal. I mean, they got away from God. This is talking about God's people. I don't expect anything out of the world, but this is talking about God's people who started off so good and went so bad and went so bad. And verse 40 says, therefore the wrath of the Lord kindled against His people insomuch that He abhorred His own inheritance. I mean, this chapter just goes on and it goes downhill. And I think about our country today, and I think about so many people that start off with intentions of doing good and then go bad. Listen, you're looking at somebody, I like the victory stories. You know what I mean? I like to tell the good things. I mean, I like it. How many sports enthusiasts are in here? Can I see your hand? I'm not. Okay, so you'll like this. I'm not the world's greatest sports enthusiast. I'm just not. I mean, I get excited about Pee Wee football as I can the Super Bowl. I'm just telling you. If I know who's playing Pee Wee football, I would be excited about it. But I got excited about this. I got excited when the Navy League, Navy, played Notre Dame. And they beat them. And it was a 60-year record that they beat. And these are the misfits. These guys, they tell me some of them weigh, you know, you come in at like 5'3", 5'5", and beat this major league team. Now, I don't know enough about these guys, but I know a major league team, you know, they're getting paid more than they should be getting paid. I know that. And I know that they're on the front, and these guys, some of these 325-pound man, 6'5", and I hear the story about this 60-year victory where Navy beat this major league, and I'm listening on the radio. I'm not a sports enthusiast, and I'm turning up the radio saying, hey, I like that. One, they beat Notre Dame. I got a little problem with it. But here it was Navy, you know. It was just tremendous. And I like the victory story. I like to read about David and Goliath. I like to read about little David taking just a ruddy lad. I like to read about him reaching down in that brook and grabbing those five rocks and putting those rocks in his pocket. And the Bible talks about him running towards Goliath. I mean, it looks like a man with no fear, a young man running with armies, huge armies on both sides. And here's this little guy. I mean, that giant had to respect that guy that day. I mean, and he said he was going to, you know, take his head off. He didn't even have a sword. He used Goliath's own sword to take his head off. I mean, it gets kind of bloody and gutty, but I sure do like it. What a great story of victory that day. And I believe that from that story, I believe that from the spirit of David that day, that that's where Jonathan's spirit was knit. That's where he got a good friend, Jonathan, that day. He saw the spirit of that. And by the way, if you read Jonathan's life, Jonathan developed that same spirit where he would trust God for some great things. I love to read about Ruth and how she was a Moabite. She was an outcast. I mean, her upbringing came from incest. And here she is in the lineage in Jesus Christ. And Matthew, when talks about the King of Kings, and you got to have a genealogy. And just Jesus said, one of few women mentioned there. Don't forget about Ruth. Let's make sure we put her in that genealogy. And you see Rahab, the harlot. And all, you know, it says Rahab, the harlot. Yeah. You know, and it puts, stick that in that genealogy. And I just want you to know that's because we got a God that loves victory too. And He writes these things to encourage us. Because the devil is not going to encourage us. We're going to have to get our strength from God's people today or it isn't going to happen. Matter of fact, I'm going to be narrower than that. You're going to have to get it from direct headquarters today or it just may not happen in your life. And folks, I got you separated. I'll get you together here in a minute. But I'm going to tell you something. When you get over there and you're in the Congo, it may be there's no strength but God that you're going to get that strength from. There's not going to be anybody saying, boy, we like preachers here. There may be, there may not be anybody. Or they may be really happy with you for the first year. Then they find out what you preach and what you teach. They find out how you're narrow. You're not getting along with the ecumenical folks here. Why not? You know, and all of a sudden things begin to change a little bit. And you're going to have to get your strength from God. I want you just to see this real quick. It's just 3 minutes, and it's the buts in the Bible. It's the nevertheless in the Bible that makes me think. And I want you to think about America in this and our task here. A lot of figures. I hope it's just going to come on real quick, but I want you to see what's going on in our country. I'll tell you, that song and those statistics, it made me want to walk out the door and pass out tracts. Made me want to witness. And I thought, well, maybe I could challenge you with that tonight, that we've got a job here. Yeah. Amen. We want to keep them over there, keep them on the foreign field. Right here, we got to keep the candle burning right here, bright. And I'll tell you what, that'll encourage them. Yes. That'll encourage them, knowing that we're trying to do something, our part. Amen. That's our part in this country. And I believe that God has just, I tried to get like a diamond. Couldn't get anybody to share one. But I wanted to bring a diamond because it's made out of the rough. And I'm going to tell you something that as a couple, and what your family's been through, you're a diamond that God brought out of the rough. I can't help to think how God put His hand on you and preserved you. And I tell you, I expect great things out of you. I mean, you look like a Jeremiah to me. Just like, you didn't have any choice. God says you're going to preach, you're going to be a preacher. It's like, you know, just a weird thing there that seemed like He was birthed to preach. I believe God just reached down and gave a victory story right here tonight that we have to tell. You're one of those stories. You know, the book, all the things God has for us one day, I don't know if we'll get to read all of those in heaven. I believe the story, each of us is writing a story, and be interesting to see how yours final chapter will be. And I just want you to know it's a blessing to me to be here and be part of this challenge. I want to hear great things from you, brother. Amen. I want to warn you about some things. That we have this thing, awful thing called the will. Oh, we have a choice in life that we make. And all those stories, I think back in the Word of God, I think about Lot. And I think about how he had such a wonderful beginning, really. I mean, he traveled with a great man of God, Abraham. He could have learned a lot from Abraham. He could have benefited from Abraham. And yet he became, the Bible says, the New Testament says he became vexed with the filthy conversation of those in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, vexed, that's a spirit just kind of doesn't go away. Just kind of hits you. You push it off, hits you again, push it off, hits you again. Push it off, hit you again. I have a feeling that maybe in the Congo, there's going to be some spirits there that's going to vex you. I mean, it's going to be unreceptive to the will of God, to the Word of God, to the presence of God. I mean, it's going to try to take you away from God. And there's not going to be a lot of other people outside of God there to encourage you that night, those days, and your family and your children. And Lot, I think Lot, I don't know what happened to him, but boy, that Sodom got to him. And I just want you to know that tonight that we're not going to the Congo, but our Sodom's right here. I mean, it's America. And you know, God saved us, God called us, God brought us out of the world. Amen? And he's brought us out of America to reach people for Christ. But we have a will, just as Brother Matt and his wife has a will. We have a will, too, to make. We have choices to make. I think about there as you think about Saul. And I was reading about Saul. You go back there and you read about Saul. Can somebody read James chapter 1 for me in a minute? James 1 verses 14 and 15. Somebody do that for me real quick. Okay. Would you get that ready? And I'll have you read that. But, you know, I think about Saul, and I think about the beginning there of Saul, and I think about how that he was with the prophets, and the Holy Spirit just took him over. You read that stuff back there, and you think about that, and how humble he was, how humble beginning he had. And God said he gave him another heart there in 1 Samuel around chapter 15. I mean, it seemed like God was really working mightily, and he was a humble person. And then Saul got prideful. You know, we don't ever read anything after, you know, really, he made a few decisions there. A lion and disobeying God. And Bible refers to that as disobedience being a sin of witchcraft. And that sin led him away from God. And he, boy, I'm telling you, just like God quit speaking to him, cut him off. That's a pretty sad commentary. I think about Solomon. I think about, boy, all the things that he started out, all the benefits. I mean, I've often prayed, and preachers, I'm sure you felt it. I mean, I pray, God, I'd like to have the Shekinah glory fall tonight. I mean, where Solomon prayed, and in the midst of his prayer, at the end of his prayer, I mean, the Shekinah glory came on the temple, and the priests couldn't even do their work. I mean, the presence of God was that thick. I thought, I'd like to have that. And yet that's the same Solomon that ended up marrying all these wives and concubines. And you know he's not right. I mean, it's hard enough to keep track of one woman. What in the world do you do with all those women? And worse than that, what about all those mother-in-laws? I mean, what was he thinking? You know, I've often thought in my mind, I'm not quite sure where Solomon got in there, the book of Ecclesiastes, how that ever fit in there in his life. You ever think about it? Because he is a wayward man of God. And what an awful commentary to end up with somebody that had so much good going for him. Listen, you're saved tonight. You know the Lord. You got a lot of things going for you. Amen. Yes. In your right mind, you got more than most people. It's a wonderful thing to be in your right mind, isn't it? Yeah. And James chapter 1, I want you to listen to this verse. If you read that nice and loud for us, James 1 verses 14 and 15.
But every man is tempted when he is drawn away from his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bring it forth death.
You know, I get the idea there. There's a progression before God killed you. Before he kills you, there'd be a progression. He's kind. You know, you don't do one thing wrong and it smokes you. No? He's kind. I get an idea of a progression there. You know, something happened. If something happened before that death came, there was sin. And before that sin, there was that enticement and there was that allurement. I got the idea that it's kind of like this. I got the idea that before we get into sin, first our before our feet turn, our heart turns. Before our heart turns, our will turns. And before our will turns, you know what? It was our thought life. That's the enticing there. We're dwelling on something. We're thinking about something. We're giving thoughts to something that is wrong, wicked, vile, should not be. And there's not going to be a bunch of people watching over you there, saying, hey, you know, watch that internet.
Yeah.
Watch those dirty things. You know, they tell me in Iraq, I mean, you know, it's amazing there in Iraq, but one of the things about Iraq is sodomy is just terrible. That's interesting, isn't it? I mean, if you know anything about the religion and that, I mean, it's amazing that they wouldn't get a hold of that. But it's so open there. Guy told me, military guy told me, he socked somebody right in the mouth. He said he said because you're not supposed, they got some legal political way of doing this, but he said I knew that I could only hit him one time, so I hit him as best as I could. And he said he was kissing. It was an older man kissing a 3-year-old boy on the lips, and just staying on him. He said so he politely being a soldier, he just went over there and he hit that guy with everything he could. And then he told me the story about what's going on over there. I thought, man, that's sad. But you know, can that ever happen? Well, when I read Psalms 106 and I think about that, and I think about, can that ever happen to God's people? Could we ever hear a bad commentary on you? Yes, we could. And if you yield and you allow to be enticed, and when that, you know, it's not wrong to be tempted. It's wrong to yield to that temptation and to give in to that temptation. And you have to say no. You can't give it a spot in your heart. You can't give the devil place in your life. And if you do, just because you say, well, I'm a King James person, I'm telling you, do you no good. I'm a Bible, do you no good. I'm a missionary, do you no good. All these people have faith. Do you no good? God will hammer you as God hammered Israel. God will hammer you. And I want you to think about this. Brother Tom Malone, whom I believe you have a lot of respect for, is that correct? You know, before he died, some of his last words was likened unto this. It's not a quote. This is getting down to his last words, though. That it was more about a relationship than anything else. That he wished that if he could tell anybody, he could encourage anybody, that it's more of a relationship with God. You know, we're not into ritualism, just formalism. But I'll tell you, we too can just get so ritual that pretty soon we don't have time to pray. We don't have time to be with God. We don't have time to think about God. You don't have time away. You know, you're going to have to make that time. We get young preachers coming our way, and it's always like somehow, they always think that somehow, once they get into the ministry, one guy told me, preacher, he said this. He said, you know, I'm going to study more when I get into ministry. You know, I thought we got a lot to talk about. You are just missing something here. And you know, also you're in it because you're in the ministry. You're going to get smarter. You know, you're not going to study more unless you have to and want to and desire to. And you put that time in it and set aside that you're going to study because you're going to need to. I want to tell you how people go astray real quick here. I gave you 3 points. Number one is this: it's gradually. It's gradually. You know, as we think about this, we think about this chapter, how it starts off. They're pretty excited. And actually, they go up and down a couple of times in this chapter. It didn't happen all at once. They didn't end up just worshiping idols and sacrificing their children just like that. They begin to mix with the lost people. It was a gradual process downhill. And we're sending you away. Far as I know, you're right with God. You're excited with God. You're going out here with the best of blessings. This crowd here tonight is here to say, because we're for you, brother. We're glad you, and I believe that there's a host that is not even here that loves you, pray for you, thank God for you when you're going out. You're going out with the best we can give you. I'll tell you, if you go downhill, it's going to be gradual. It's usually not an overnight thing. It's a James 1, verses 14 and 15. Something happens. Something we begin to just set aside. That's that for God. That's that lay it aside. It's a gradual thing. Lay aside my Bible a little bit. Lay aside my prayer a little bit. Lay aside the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart a little bit. Begin to get dull hearing to those things. And all of a sudden, we are in a big mess. You know, usually how we rot, I believe how Saul rotted out, how Lot rotted out, how Solomon rotted out. They rotted out inside first. You couldn't see it. It's kind of like not taking a bath for a long time. You know, after a while, you can smell that. You're not bathing. No, you haven't been bathing. This didn't happen overnight. There's some stink that happened overnight. There's other stink. It's not overnight. And it won't come clean, just, you know, a little doodab of water either. This is going to take some scrubbing. But I'll tell you something. God's got a sniffer on our soul. And He knows when our soul starts to stink. And I don't know any better bath than the Word of God. And the Spirit of God and that tenderness that's speaking to our heart and to our life about what we need to be doing. You're going to have a lot of new things and new adventures to hit you as you're going to have to go to God. And you're going to have to, God, how am I going to handle this? How am I going to do it? You've got to be sensitive and to what God would want. And the Bible says there in Romans 8:7, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. And that old flesh will try to take you away from God. It has absolutely nothing that wants to do with God. So don't feed it. Don't yield to it. So we can go away gradually, we can go away spiritually. You know, they begin to worship idols. They knew that was wrong. They knew that was wrong. How do we get messed up spiritually? What happens? Well, when I think about getting messed up spiritually, I think about maybe like you get lonely there. And all of a sudden, man, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses are everywhere. I don't call them Jehovah's. I call them Jehovah's False Witnesses. They're everywhere. The Mormons are everywhere. I mean, I gotta admit, they have some pretty good commercials. I wish us Baptists would have better commercials, you know. Yeah. They have good commercials. They make them look like wholesome people. Yeah, they have doctrines of devils, though. You know that? I mean, their doctrines would send a person straight to hell. And we think about Herbert W. Armstrong. There is doctrines, damnable doctrines. Doctrine, I tremble. He teaches the new birth. He who teaches the new birth is, you don't have to get saved now. New birth is after you die. Then you get the new birth. Boy, that's scary doctrine. You know, after a while, maybe even the Church of Christ start looking good to you. And I call, people come to church, they join, and I say, well, I think you need to be rebaptized. They said, why? I said, because the church you're coming out of, the doctrine's trash. They're teaching that when you went in the water, somehow you got your sins washed away. They said, oh, no, no. I said, well, I'll call the church. I remember calling the Church of Christ in our town and also the Christian church in our town, called the preacher. Oh, I asked him, I said, tell me something. Can you get to heaven without being baptized? First they gave me the secretary. They gave me the assistant pastor. Then they gave me the pastor. To answer a simple question. He was on the phone 15, 20 minutes telling me about this. And it amounted to this. Well, you might, but it's really hard. And he wasn't real clear about that. And I thought, boy, I'm telling you what a mess. And just determined, no, 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 you can't be a member unless you get baptized the right way. You know why? Because we have predecessors that died. First they were known as rebaptizers, then they were known as Anabaptists, and we call them Baptists today. We got a heritage. We got a doctrine. We got some things worth believing for. We got some things worth dying for. And you're going to get over there. I'm telling you, somebody's going to mess with you spiritually. And they're going to start playing with your head. But you're going to be lonely for some spiritual friendship. I mean, they come across and they say Jesus. And you're like, you know Jesus? Maybe, I don't know how they say it in the Congo, but it might light up your life. And yet it's not the same Jesus that you know in this Bible. Boy, it's going to take a lot of discernment. And I pray that God would just watch over you and your family. And I want to tell you this, and we close, that also it's going to be sinfully. Gradually, spiritually, sinfully. What do I mean by sinfully? Well, I believe it gets us that word for God again. They laid it aside. We begin to, somehow, we don't deal with sin like we should. You know, it's a terrible thing having your family grown. My family's all grown. My baby's 24 years old. And he's 6'3", and it's hard for me to spank him. You know, there comes a time where you're a man, you have to walk on your own two feet. And if I could encourage you with anything, if I could leave you with this, I've thought about it and thought about it and thought about it, don't know how to say it. But as you saw America tonight, I hope, how many of that touched your heart when you saw America? I mean, did you have a desire? I don't think you want to pass out tracts. I just want you to know, you're cool. We're going to hold this country the best we can for Christ. We got a lot of work to do. But I want you to know this dear sweet woman beside you. Because right there is part of your life. And remember that she's going to need love. She's going to need attention. She's going to need understanding. She's going to go through things. And she's a woman. She doesn't even know why she's going through them. You know, they don't always understand their emotions. And I don't know anybody that does. God, it's going to take a lot. And you know, you're going to see sometimes your husband is going to be frustrated and depressed. And you're going to have to go to him and give him some encouragement. Even though you feel discouraged yourself. You love that each other. I'm telling you, you're not going to get it from anybody else to go love that each other. It takes some time. Sometimes we think this word's bad, but I'll tell you, sometimes I just say no. No. I don't have any more time. I can't do it. Maybe because I need to be with my wife. I need to be with my family. And you got to learn to say, maybe somebody say, boy, what are you doing getting away today? We're paying you. Just time to get away from my wife. She needs encouragement. She needs to take some time with my children. I tell you one thing about children, they grow too fast. And all the fathers and sons, they turn around and they go, this little girl, she's sleeping on that snowman. I gave her all that pep talk right there. You know, you turn around, so somebody's going to be trying to marry someone too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that he's giving you a little bit of challenge. We love you. Thank God for you. And we just want to hear great things.
Yeah.
This balance there for a minute. Our God, as we bow before you tonight, there's just a lot of things that run through our mind that we just pick out a lot of things that bring to our heart and our life. And I pray tonight that sweet Holy Spirit would speak far beyond just a man's words tonight. Oh God, lock in our hearts as people, as Christians, what needs to be. And in this family, I don't know what all they need, Lord. I know what's lacking yet, but I pray, Father, that you would meet every need and help them. Step on and step off that plane, the one-way ticket, with all the assurance that you're with them.